1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Now, if you go over to the Phil Hendry Show website, those of you who are at your computer today, do they need to be a subscriber, Chris, to get the Fiji scrapbook pictures? No, you do not. No, you do not. The only thing you really need to be a subscriber for is to get the audio of our show. You need to be a subscriber to get our live feed, which is what you may be listening to right now if you are a subscriber. And by the way, when you get the live feed, you hear all of the language. There is no, in other words, if we needed to dump out a dirty word, you get it all on our live feed. Not that that's any big selling point, but, you know, every little bit helps. And if you're that kind of, if your life is that empty that you actually need to hear that, well, by all means, then that's just one more added little bit of fun so you can hear people say poo and all the other dirty words. And they don't get edited out on the internet feed. So, you get that with your $6.95 backstage pass. You get all of our archived audio. And what does that mean? Well, first of all, we keep a running 30-day archive of all of our shows, and then we have all these classic bits. It's a beautiful thing. It's only $6.95. However, the rest of the content is free when you visit our website. And today, we have up Phil's Fiji Adventure. Yes, Phil's Fiji Adventure. All of the photographs. I wish I had some of that mambo music available to me right now. Ah, here it is. Jungle Jive. Just what the doctor ordered. Boy, I'll say one thing for the musical library that we have in a Phil Hendry show. We have got every little thing for every little moment on this program. And while we look at the Fiji pictures, our vacation pictures, let's listen, shall we? Okay, enough of that crap. Now, moving along. No, it sounds pretty good. What the hell is this? Sounds like a fever dream. Sounds like I've got malaria. Oh, Fiji. Fiji, stop, Fiji. You all right?
It was a dream. Some kind of a wild fever dream.
All right, now go over to our website. You'll see Phil's Fiji Adventure. Picture number one is a picture of our bourée at the beautiful Jean-Michel Cousteau Resort on the island of Venuelevu. This is out of sight. It's a picture of our bourée. The bourée is the way the Fijian people live, and we just thought we'd show you the long walkway to our front door, and there's the shot of our bourée there. It was actually kind of cloudy and rainy on our first day. Isn't this exciting, listening to our home movies here? Just listening to all the boring detail of our trip to Fiji? Well, that's too bad if you don't like it, because I'm going to talk about it. I may talk about it for six straight days, nonstop. The next picture is a picture of me standing behind our bourée. I can only say this about this picture and other pictures of me. I know I'm losing weight, but it appears not fast enough. Yes, there's a picture of me with the gut hanging out behind our bourée. I'm wearing kind of some sort of a jungle shirt with shorts. In other words, I look like Bwana, you know, Ramar of the jungle with the whole, you know, Bwana shorts. All I need is the pith helmet and a bag of medicine. You know, see what I'm saying? And some guy standing next to me with a box on his head. Picture number three shows my beautiful wife Maria standing behind our bourée, and that behind her is the Kora Sea. Yes, the Kora Sea. The Kora Sea, which abuts Bly Waters. Bly Waters is the channel between the two main islands of Fiji. Why do they call it Bly Waters? Because it was there that Captain Bly navigated the open launch of the Bounty as he was being chased by a Fijian war canoe. He escaped, but just in the nick of time. The next picture shows a Fijian sunset behind our bourée. The beautiful blue waters of the Kora Sea, the hint of a storm cloud on the horizon, yet a gorgeous red Fijian sunset. There in the corner, you see me on my hands and knees, dry heaving the last of fine Fiji Bounty rum. The white liquid is the rum. A little bit of that pink and red, I think, is the calamari salad from lunch. Now, the next picture you'll notice is a coconut sitting on the back porch of our bourée. Why a coconut? Because it's a groovier, sexier, more romantic way of saying, no maid service, thank you. Rather than having a sign hanging that says, no turndown service, they tell you to just stick the coconut out there. The problem is, the first day I cracked it open and, you know, drank the milk from it and then threw it away, and then we never had any privacy, because they wouldn't give me another coconut. So while I was there making love to my wife, four Fijian maids were cleaning the bathroom. The next picture is of my lovely wife, Maria, getting all dolled up for dinner. You want to see her wearing what looks to be a leopard skin teddy top? By all means, log on to our website, philhenryshow.com. In the next picture, you'll notice Maria and I toasting each other on the occasion of our fifth wedding anniversary. This song, by the way, is an ancient Fijian anniversary love song, as sung by Paul Anka. That's a nice Fijian studio chorus, wearing bobby socks and some kind of a grass skirt. Okay, so that's us, and we're toasting each other with a glass of some, I think it's New Zealand wine. Actually, that's the wine you get in Fiji. It's either from New Zealand or Australia.
Very fine New Zealand Chardonnay.
Let me tell you something. Chardonnay, whether it's California, New York, or New Zealand, is still piss. Now, I'm joking about that. It's okay. I don't drink it, so what do I know? And the next picture, you'll see a picture of the people at the Cousteau surprised us with an anniversary cake. It's very beautiful. Really sweet people at the Cousteau, man. They got a whole vibe going with all the people in the village. They just kind of do that whole ecotourism thing really cool. And talk about the most fantastic snorkeling you ever done in your life, man. In your life. Okay, the next picture is of me feeling the effects of a local rum drink. I'm just sort of sitting there fat and smiling. The next picture is of the ceiling in our bureau, and it shows interesting lattice work and the beam work, and basically I took it because I was paralyzed laying flat on my back, and I couldn't move. Actually, the back of my head was congealed to the pillow from vomit. Now, the next picture from our Fijian adventure shows Maria sitting in a boat as we're sailing off to our own private island. In the following picture, you see Fatso, yeah, that's me, sitting in the bow of the boat as we're sailing off to the same island. Although you'll notice in my picture, the bow of the boat is sunk a little bit more deeply into the water than the part of the boat that Maria's sitting in. That's because I weigh over 250 pounds. And the next picture is of the boat sinking. So there you go. In the next picture, you'll see two blue mats sitting there on the beach. Now, those are the mats that Marie and I brought with us. This is a private island that they had. And we were the only people on this island. And at low tide, you could walk completely around the island and checking out all of the marine life and also snorkeling in some of the deeper waters. Then the tide would start to come in. You can see where the mats are sitting. The tide was coming in, see? And when the tide comes in more, then the mats float away, see? So I thought that was really neat. And I took a picture of it, see? Now, the next picture, you'll see me standing off in the trees. Can you kind of make out that the picture of me in the trees? I'm not sure whether or not I'm wearing clothes in this picture because I'm hid behind some palm fronds. Yeah, I think I am nude. And it's me standing behind the palm fronds on this island. We were the only two people on this island. It was awesome. You got to go to a deserted island. You got to do it. But you got to make sure somebody's going to get you off the deserted island. Just don't just get like Tom Hanks. That's no fun. Especially when you're having to pull your teeth with ice skates. But, yeah, actually what I'm doing is urinating. Thank you, Chris. You reminded me. The next picture is of me standing out in the surf. And if you want to see how white and pink my body is, you got to check this picture out. So there I am wearing the Val's Surf Shop board shorts with the white pink fat stomach and a Panama hat. And I'm standing in front of a rock formation that the natives call the lion. That's because it's shaped like an elephant. Then there's another picture of the marine life. It's a picture of a starfish that Maria took, and then another picture of a starfish that she took. And then we got the hell out of there. So the next picture you'll see of a kid named Gabriel on the boat taking us out of there. His parents, or his grandfather, I think, owns the island. And he says, "My people come from the village at night, party hardy, drink lots of kava and Fiji rum, but we'll clean the puke up." He says, "Well, thank you." So that's just part one of our Fiji snapshot catalog that you can see on our website. And then there's another picture here. This is a really good look of the Cousteau Resort from the water as...
I was a lad. By the sea I drove.
Pardon me, I'm praying. No, this is a picture of the Cousteau. That was nice, whatever that was. This is singing is a Fijian homosexual who we recorded on our private tape machine, and we brought it back here. So, yeah, that's a picture of the Cousteau Resort from the water. Does that look cool? Doesn't that look like a native island village? Yeah? Native island village, huh? Try $700 a night for your native island village. I'm kidding. It ain't that much. But it's worth it. Beautiful. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Some of you may be following along online looking at these pictures, and you may have questions. You may have some comments. You may want to ask me, Phil, what, you know, lose some weight. Just anything. 1-800-449-8686 as we look at the pictures from our Fiji adventure on The Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Henry.
Okay, we're looking at the pictures from our Fiji adventure, and you can follow along with us by going to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. This is The Phil Henry Show, where I do the voices of different characters, and I do the voice of myself, and then people call in thinking they're talking to a real guy and other crap. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We'll get back to reviewing our photographs in just one moment. Here's Bob. Bob?
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good. I missed you last week.
So you knew I was on vacation, even though we were rolling tape and not saying that it was a tape.
Well, I heard Jerry Springer.
Oh, in L.A.
Yeah.
Get a load of this. You guys that, because people around the country don't know, in Los Angeles, Jerry Springer filled in for me for 3 days last week. And when I found out about that, and I'm going to tell you this, Bob, this is doesn't have anything to do with Mr. Springer. I don't know him, and I'm sure he's a fine guy. But when I found out that they had a substitute host in here for me, as opposed to just running the usual boring tape, which we like, I wanted to eat one of my own hands. In other words, I wanted to return to Fiji and cook myself and just eat myself. What do you think about that?
Well, I was surprised because I didn't think that Jerry Springer is the kind of thing that you would be putting on while you were gone. So
no, it isn't the kind of thing that I'd be putting on while I was gone. It was put on without my prior knowledge. Not that I have anything, not that I can control that. In other words, the L.A. affiliate can do whatever they wanted. And as it was explained to me, Jerry Springer wants to do a radio show, and they wanted to try it out and see what it sounded like. And since I was on vacation, they put him in my time slot for 3 days.
Well, why not? Why not? I mean, it's not like you're a star, right?
Yeah, right. I'm not a star. No.
Anyway.
And Jerry Springer is he's phenomenal as a radio talent.
Yeah, I didn't think so. You know, one of the things I want, can I just make a side comment aside from Fiji about your show?
Go right ahead. Since you're already well on your way, go right ahead.
One of the best bits that you've done, and I've heard it played over once, but I'd love to hear some new iterations of it, would be how many beers would it take?
Ah, yes. All right, write that one down, Janice. How many beers would it take? Okay.
That's one of the best things.
Yeah, get out of here. Giving me a headache. Yeah, when I heard Jerry Springer was filling in for me, I put on this music, and I just sat very quietly in a rattan chair with the room darkened, and I was playing with a revolver, just spinning the chamber, just, you know how it is. Like that. Here's Charlie on The Phil Henry Show. Charlie?
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I just wanted to talk to you about, you said earlier that you hung up on a lady because she said she was listening to you online.
Yeah.
And that only backstage pass members could listen. But I've found a couple other places that streams you live.
Okay, where?
One of them is the KFI website.
No, they don't.
They do.
The KFI Los Angeles website streams this show live.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody with Clear Channel or Premier Radio Networks listening right now, maybe you'd like to know that KFI is streaming this show live. So that means that the whole subscription model for our website goes up in flames. Now, I'm sitting with Jeff Cabot, and Jeff is intimately involved, huh?
7 to 10.
7 to 10, are they running it, or when are they running it?
Actually, they run it from 10 to 1 o'clock in the morning, I think, Eastern Standard Time.
So that would be 7 to 10 Pacific.
Yeah.
And they're running it free.
Yeah, as far as I know, unless maybe is it linked to your site at all?
Well, you got to have a subscription to listen to my show on my site.
I do have a backstage pass.
Right.
I've also listened on the KFI website.
Okay, well, that's a big problem, and we'll correct that.
Okay.
As much as we appreciate your patronage, there ain't no free lunches, man, starting with this radio show. But thank you.
It's worth the money.
Thanks, pal. What's that about? Is that guy just calling up with a bunch of crap? I bet you he's just calling up to try to get my jaws tightened again. I bet you he's calling up, just like those guys told me that Jerry Springer was filling in for me, just to elevate my blood pressure, just to elevate my blood rate, just to get the blood coming from my nose. You know, I'm gonna freaking pop like that guy in the movie The Fury. How'd you like to blow your brains out to this?
Go down point.
Jesus. What is he talking about? They're running my show. They're streaming my show on KFI. Jeff, would you please do something about that, please? In the name of everything holy, please. Let me, just to give you some background, you know, I don't like to talk about these things, but you know what? I think I will. We, in the last trend, in the last ratings book, we hit number one, 25 to 54 in the Los Angeles market in the ratings. Now, that's 7 to 10 at night, which is when we are aired in the Los Angeles market. Number one. We clawed, and we scratched, and we scraped, and we bled, and we just beat our fists against the brick until they were bloody, and we hit number one. Then I go on vacation, I find out that Jerry Springer is filling in for me for 3 days. Naturally, you don't have too many solid bowel movements after you hear news like that. So when I got back and I heard about that, I became upset, and I said, well, why? And it was explained to me as thus. Gee, the guy wants to do a radio show, and wanted to hear what it would sound like, and so we put him on. And I said, that's fine. Okay. And we would never do it again, Phil, without your prior consent. Okay, thank you very much. And the fact is, since you were on vacation, what difference does it make? Okay, thanks a lot. And who wants to hear tapes of your rotten show? It's bad enough the first time. Why would we hear it? You know, want to hear it again the second time? I said, thank you very much. And so I was mollified, and I was ameliorated, and I was pacified. And I went home, and I listened to a little bit more of this. So that's what happened, and that's why Jerry Springer was filling in for Phil Henry last week. And sorry we, you know, put it to you the way we did. I don't understand anything you're writing to me today, Jeff. It just, none of it makes any sense, man. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jim on the Phil Henry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just have to say, I'm just dying to get that character back, that dude named Chris who always says that he's sassy.
Yeah.
Man, I'm aching to hear that guy. I really miss him.
Okay, thank you. You know, let's not take any more phone calls. Let's go back to the website now. Now, a lot of you guys are probably waiting for me to say something negative about Jerry Springer doing my show. I'm not going to say anything negative about the guy. I'm not going to diss the guy's success on television. I don't know what kind of a radio host he would make, any more than Bill Riley's, or is it O'Reilly? I don't know which O'Reilly. But I do know one thing. Both those guys made their name in television, so what kind of a radio show would they do? In other words, people constantly think that the medium of radio is somehow akin to television, and whatever you do on TV, you can do on radio, which you can't do. You can't do. This is a whole different medium, man. Nobody has ever pointed that up more clearly than me. I only say the word me because I like the way it sounds, you know. No one has ever pointed up more clearly how distinctive a medium radio can be than me. Now, getting back to our pictures from Fiji. All right, where are we here, man? Going on to the next page, you'll see a picture of me standing under a tree, and on the tree it says, "Beware of falling coconuts." This is pretty funny. Throughout the day, you could be taking a nap, you could be sitting on the beach, you could be wherever you were, and you would hear literally this. Freaking coconuts were dropping, and if they hit the roof of like your bourrée or if they hit the roof of anything, it would sound like a gunshot going off. Big, fat coconuts just... Oh, we got to take a break? All right. We'll be right back. That was a coconut hitting. 1-800-44... Oh, that was someone getting hit by a coconut. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, I'm going to get back to the Fiji scrapbook, but I also would like to say that the some news is in. About the jurors deliberating in the San Francisco dog mauling trial. They sent word to the judge today that they had reached verdicts on four of the five charges and wanted to adjourn until Thursday, tomorrow, to consider the last count. The notice came shortly after they took another look at testimony from defendant Robert Noel, about the aggressiveness of his dogs. Behind closed doors, a court reporter read sections of Noel's testimony before a grand jury about the dogs and an incident in which the animals allegedly lunged at a neighbor. The segments were brief and mainly involved Noel answering no to questions about whether he considered the animals aggressive. Noel did not testify during this trial. Noel, 60, and his wife Marjorie Noler are charged in the death of neighbor Diane Whipple, who was fatally mauled in January of 2001 outside her apartment by at least one of the couple's dogs. So they've come in with a verdict on four of the five charges. They're going to adjourn until tomorrow to consider the last count, and that's in the dog mauling trial. And then there's one other thing that's going on in the news that I would like to offer an opinion about. This was the very tragic death of the girl at the hockey game in Columbus, Ohio. 13-year-old girl hit by a puck that I understand deflected off of at least two people before it tragically struck her, causing injury that later resulted in her death. She was a fan at a hockey game. The puck came off the stick, I think, of one of the Columbus hockey players. It caromed off one of the Calgary players, went over the glass, hit a fan, and then caromed into this child. So one, two, three, and then fatally striking this girl, the fourth person. Now, what do you suppose is happening all over talk radio and the news today? Well, you guessed it. Everybody's trying to find out who's to blame. And everyone's trying to find out who we should lay the blame on and whose fault is it. And more importantly, the question that is asked ad nauseum about all kinds of things in this world, how can we prevent it from happening again? How can we prevent it from happening again? You know, here's one. People die. How can we prevent it from happening again? When I croak, I hope somebody says, how can we prevent it from happening again? I don't care if I'm 112 laying on a funeral pyre, having passed out in my sleep. I want somebody to say, how can we prevent it from happening again? Now, here's the bottom line on this tragic, tragic story out of Columbus. There's nobody to blame. There is no one at fault. There's no story there. There's no talk show topic there. So give it a rest. All of you guys that are scrambling for the newspaper today, desperately trying to find some material for your show. There is nothing to talk about. It was a terrible tragedy. It was an accident. Nobody intended it to happen. And there's no way you can prevent it. Oh, wait a minute. You say there is? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Don't have anybody go to hockey games. That's right, I forgot. Or how about this? Build ceiling-to-floor plexiglass screens so that you have to pump separate oxygen supplies into the rink and the grandstands because it's absolutely hermetically sealed and nothing can get through on either side. How about that? Well, that's ridiculous. It's idiotic. And as horrible and as tragic as this kid's death is, one death in the history of professional hockey does not warrant that kind of thing. So there's nothing to talk about. Unlike the guy that I was driving home listening to last night on a local sports talk show, this is what this guy's take was. There's too many kids running around the ring. Now, nothing about this kid. She was 13 and she was walking the gate. But I'm just talking about the kids that are running around with fire trucks. Let's get the kids under control. I'm thinking, what has that got to do with the kid that died? He goes, there really isn't. Even he was admitting it. There really isn't anything having to do with what is in the news. I just thought I'd say this because I've got to say something about it, because otherwise I got no material for the next hour. So here's my take on that. There's too many kids at hockey games running around with their fire trucks and all this crap. And I thought I'd take the moment to say that because I can't think of anything else to say. What kind of knuckleheads are going on out there, man? Why don't you close down half of these sports talk stations, okay? Do yourself a favor. Shut down about 60 to 70% of every sports talk radio station in America, because these guys have got nothing to say. And when I say nothing to say, I mean they don't even know anything about the sports they're talking about. I think there's about four or five guys that do sports radio real good, and everybody else blows sports talk. Yeah, that's great, especially in L.A. Let me just, you know, I shouldn't say this. Los Angeles is a difficult city to do sports talk in. Why is that? Because no one gives a crap about sports. Makes it kind of tough, doesn't it? Yeah. People go to ball games. Don't get me wrong. They go to basketball. They go to hockey. We got a football team here again. I guarantee you they'll sell out every game. I guarantee it. And we go to baseball. We just don't like talking about it. That's all. I mean, if people do talk about it, they talk about it in friendly terms like, yeah, this, yeah, that, have a couple of beers, have a steak on the Barbie, throw another chick on the Barbie, throw another girl under your mattress, and let's just, you know, let's have a party, man. Let's go to the ball game. But nobody is up in anybody's face like they are in New York, you know? Like, the best sports talk station in America is WFAN in New York because the sports fans of New York care. They care. They got three hockey teams, two football teams. I think they got, yeah, two basketball teams, two or three or ten baseball teams, 86 football teams, 1,243 women's softball teams, 500 lesbian bowling leagues. I mean, they got it covered up one side and down the next. The people in New York love their sports, okay? Don't hold it against them. They just happen to be terrific sports fans. The rest of the country doesn't get it. We go, we watch, we cheer, we boo, we take a leak, we pee out the rest of the beer, and we go home. And the rest of the week is spent pursuing jobs, children, education, whatever else we do. That's what we do in L.A., that's what we do in the rest of the country. New York, they don't do that. Just because WFAN kicks ass morning, noon, and night because they got a great station doesn't mean you can duplicate that anywhere else. So, I mean, you know, this poor kid in Columbus, Jesus, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. What else are you going to say about it? What are you going to do? You're going to minimize and I'd be on sports talk. I really get that word right when I need it, don't I? I'm like one of those goombas in a social club in New York, you know, doing that kind of windmill motion with the hand, going, you know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, okay. And now it's time for Benny Johnson Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, you know, what do you do? I don't know, huh? You do? Okay. It's going to fall. Hey, what do you think?
I don't know.
What do you think? Hey.
This has been Benny Johnson's Sports Talk. Sports Radio, 8 million. The World War III of Sports Talk. The Tora Bora of Sports Talk Radio, Benny Johnson.
Yeah, we're on a sports jihad here, a couple of minutes away from the top of the hour. Now, what's up with this kid in Columbus, huh? That's what I want to know. What's she doing in the game? Oh, you mean they're allowed to? Oh, okay. Thanks.
This is Benny Johnson Sports Talk, the sports jihad. Anyway. Come on. And I'm listening to this cat last night. I said, this is the bottom. This is the end. Look, if you got a feeling about what happened, if you got a real feeling about what happened, what's your real feeling about what happened? I don't know about you. Here's my real feeling about what happened. God, do I feel sorry for those parents, man. God. And man, do I feel sorry for a father or a mother that brings their daughter to a hockey game. They want her to have a good time. Let's go out and see the hockey game. Have a hot dog. What a nightmare, man. That's the only feeling I have about it. I'm not up to blaming somebody. These jackballs on CNN and Fox with their roundtables. And now we bring on Ed Bougainvillea. Ed, what do you think? I just think hockey blows. This is just another example of how sucked it is. And I don't know. Greta, man, think the eye job would help me too? Greta's got the shot. What about me? Well, you're a guest on the program. I realize most people come on as guests because they want to get a shot. They want their own TV show. That's right. So I'm coming on with some bullcrap attitude. Hear about that whole Columbus thing in hopes that you can replace that broad from NYPD Blue with me. Well, what do you think about that whole kid in Columbus?
Well, I just think it's good.
No, that's a bad attitude. Bad. Yeah, you're hired. Okay, thanks. And there you go. That's the state of you know, discussion in America. It's sad. It's too bad. The little girl is gone. God, may God bless the parents. And the poor guy that hit the shot, the Columbus player, he must be in hell. Or that Calgary guy, or whoever. But that's all you can say about it, man. So why don't you just take it off of your little list of topics to talk about on your sports talk show tomorrow, okay? Because I was already bored to tears listening to this guy last night. And if any more you guys start windbagging this thing, the carbon dioxide on that thing is going to kill every living thing on this planet before that that topic gets off the table. The gas bagging and windbagging about that topic, trying desperately to find an angle, is going to murder every living thing. I'm only kidding. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, by the way, hockey. I don't know how many of you actually follow hockey, but I would suggest that you take a look in a program at the faces of hockey players. And if you haven't seen Frankenstein, you may, you know, you could just bypass seeing the movie. Just take a look at the kisser on half the guys that play hockey. I'm telling you, they look like they got a freaking fire put out on their face with a track shoe. They're the ugliest, most scarred up dudes. You know, these people are talking about hockey. It seems very violent, doesn't it? Seems violent? I mean, these guys have no nose cartilage. They have no teeth. They have no teeth. What do you think about a sport where the guy is sitting there grinning at you like, hi, Mom, and he's missing, like, all of his upper freaking bridge is gone. Just gone. These guys, what they do, they take their teeth out before the game. What the hell's the point of keeping them in? Because they got, like, a bridge, you know, like, all the upper teeth, they're just gone. They pull the choppers out, stick them in their locker. They're like jack-o'-lanterns. They look like Alfred E. Newman is freaking Rock Hudson compared to half these guys. And so people are sitting there going, well, gee, hockey, isn't it violent? It's... What are you, nuts? You got to go to some hockey games. I'll never forget, what game was I watching? Robert Svala played for the Florida Panthers. This is what happened to Robert. This is a typical hockey game. Svala trips, his face goes into the skate of a player skating in front of him, and he has to go into the locker room and get, now hear this, 28 stitches inside his mouth, and like half of his teeth are gone. But guess what? Came out ready for the second period. That's a hockey player. They have some problem. It's a brain problem. They haven't been able to gauge the neurotransmitters that are missing. These are guys, you got to understand something. These guys would only be wearing helmets and masks today. The only reason why they're wearing them is because the NHL demands that they wear them. If they didn't have to, they wouldn't. Guys playing in goal in the National Hockey League would rather play without the mask because it blocks their vision. And Gump Worsley, one of the great goaltenders in the history of the NHL, he couldn't get past a freaking IQ. I don't think he had an IQ higher than 60. He was a hell of a goalie, but this guy was freaking, what's his ass? Who's the guy? Forrest Gump. Freaking Rain Man. He's the greatest goalie in the history of the game. He couldn't find his ass with both hands, man. He's dumber than the puck. The puck's smarter than him. This guy's got no mask on. If you saw Gump Worsley's face, you would run in horror. Women and children would faint. Strong men would lose control of their bladder, at least. Gump Worsley had a kisser on him like he kissed a Peterbilt at 80 miles an hour. Then there was Dave Tiger Williams. Anybody remember old Dave Tiger Williams? He didn't have any nose. He had two holes and just this thing laying on his face. These guys, This is a violent game. And when I say violent, they participate in it willingly, because you got to understand, most of the guys that play hockey, where do you think they're from? They're a bunch of dumbasses that come off a farm in Canada, or they came out of the Iron Range in Minnesota, or they're out of some trout farm in Maine, and their only way to get off the farm, get the hell out of the coal mine, is to play hockey, is to take a puck in the kisser about 86 times a day, and the guy who's standing, he gets to move on to the juniors. And every day, you take about 100 pucks off the face until finally they move you up to the NHL. And then you have the great satisfaction for about $7 million a year. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not crying any freaking crocodile tears for these guys. For about $7 million a year, then you get to take a skate in the mouth. You get to take someone's skate up your crotch. You get to take a stick to the head. I believe hockey, and I could be wrong, is the only sport that I've ever heard of where there have been criminal charges filed against players within the confines of a game. I'm talking about felonious assault. I'm talking about attempted murder. It's a great game. But, and I'm not, believe me, I get it. Marty McSorley. How about, forget Marty McSorley, what about that scumbag Claude Lemieux? Is there a worse piece of human garbage that ever put on a pair of skates than Claude Lemieux, who happens to live in my neighborhood? So Claude, if you're listening, how you doing? Come on over for a barbecue, babe. You're a real piece of garbage. I mean, they've got walking trash playing that game. But you go out to the game understanding that. Either you're a real walking piece of crap like Claude Lemieux, or you haven't got 14 cents worth of brains like Wayne Gretzky. I'm kidding. I'm joking about that, Wayne. You're a fine guy. Just because your wife butted in and took my salesperson over at Sharper Image during the Christmas season doesn't mean I bear your family any ill will. Now, he's a good guy, and he's got a very fine family, and their kids go to our school, and they're just great. Now, moving on to another idiot. I'm joking. But you got to understand that about hockey. So it's a violent game. So what is everybody all shocked over the fact that a puck gets over the glass and someone is tragically killed? Oh, well, we better change it then. Oh, really? Well, what do you want to change it to? What are you going to change it to? You want to put skirts on them? You want to make all the kids wear helmets? Do you want to... You want to keep putting off the inevitable, don't you? You just want to keep putting off the inevitability that pain is a part of life, and even death is a part of life. Putting off the inevitable, inexorable, unalterable, incontrovertible truth that death and pain go hand in hand with this wondrous experience we call life. You can't get away from it. You'll never change it. You'll never be able to stop it. You're never going to invent the cure. You can do 800 sit-ups, 9 million pull-ups, 58,000. You can suck the fat out of your ass, out of your cheeks. You can pump it into your lips. You can be 106 years old and try to look like you're 26. You're going to die someday, sucker. So you get that Denise Austin video out and pump those abs and pump your ass and pump whatever you need to pump. You might as well go do it in the middle of a freaking graveyard, man, because, you know, death waits for no man. Or is it time? Oh, whatever. Okay, that's chapter one of Sports Talk. Next hour, the Sweet 16. Who do you like? This is the Phil Henry Show.